pretty good. That was one of the passes yesterday, high-speed practice passes. You can see the Blues today at 2, tomorrow the whole show, and the whole show on Saturday as well. Of course, we'll be giving it wall-to-wall coverage starting at, well, what, 5 a.m., 6 a.m.? What time do we start doing traffic on Saturday?
Traffic at 5.
5 a.m. on Saturday. Joining us now by phone, Wes Moreno. He is the interim county administrator for Escambia County. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Good to be here.
Great to have you. I was going to kind of end with this, but since we had the Kenny Loggins and the Rhino Pass, the public, you're like, there's all kinds of work by the county that goes into making the Blue Angels weekend a success, isn't there?
Yes, there is. There's a lot of work. Our Pensacola Beach Public Works is always busy this time of year. You know, we roll from the 4th of July weekend, which is extremely busy, into the Blues weekend, which is even busier. So we're putting up barricades, you know, the tower for the sound systems and all kinds of things. So throughout the weekend, you know, it's a big weekend. All of our first responders will be out there. And the Island Authority, they do a great job. Robbie Schrock and Lee Davis do a great job coordinating this with the Navy and with the Blue Angels team. And it's just going to be a great weekend. But our folks are going to do a good job. They always do a great job, so we're looking forward to it.
No, it is always a blast. And it's one of those things where, like, everybody loves the party, but they don't necessarily think of all the work the host of the party puts on to make it happen. And, you know, this is a year in the making every year to make this thing happen from the county's perspective and SRIA and public safety and everything else. Speaking of an aspect of public safety, EMS pay is on the agenda for today. A pretty significant bump, right?
It is, and we are happy to bring that to the board for approval. And it's been a long time coming, and it's much needed and much deserved.
So this is going to what? Would this put us on par with other close counties? Would we still be behind? Where would this put us in terms of competitiveness with other counties?
It's going to make us competitive. We may be a dollar or two behind at the top level. But with our benefits package and some of our other perks, I think we'll be very competitive and give us an opportunity to bring more people on board and retain people.
Yeah, starting pay and retention, right? Those are the key things that we need to work on.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things that I had wanted to ask, there's a lot of stuff on the agenda today. Another one that's on there is the Fire Cadet Program. This is something that Eric Gilmore, the Director of Public Safety, has been pushing for, right?
Yeah, this is a good program where we bring in, you know, we hired non-certified firefighters, and they begin working at a station and begin training, you know, kind of on-the-job training. But we put them through an academy, through a certification program. It lasts about 6 months, and at the end of that 6 months, they'll be a certified firefighter / certified EMT. So it's a good program. We pay for it. They do sign a contract to stay with us for a minimum of 2 years so that we're not just a training ground for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So we send them through, they sign the contract, and they're good for us for 2 years. And if they leave prior to that 2 years, well, then they owe us some money back.
Well, hey, if it's going to help raise the level of staffing in the fire in the ECFR, then, you know, I'm for it. Any little bit is going to help. It may not be the grand solution to everything, but a little bit is definitely better than nothing at all. Eric Gilmore, last week in the town hall with Stephen Berry, had made some comments about the medical director position and about moving that to a kind of a team approach with the University of Florida, and he had said July 8th as the date. Is Ramey Edler still the medical director? What's going on here?
Ramey Edler is still the medical director. She absolutely is. Hands down, she is the medical director. You know, we're always looking to improve and find efficiencies. So it's something Eric was looking at, and we'll continue to look and study it and see if it's something we bring forward at a later time. But today, Ramey Edler is our medical director.
Okay, all right, so no change imminent on that front. That's kind of what I had been confused about with, you know, the way he had been talking about it last week and what was actually happening today. Now, your heart is really, a roads and bridges guy. I mean, that's what you oversaw the engineering and construction for the county for a long time before you became the interim public or the county administrator. So I know this is stuff that's near and dear to your heart. So first question on the agenda for today is we have it's a detail-y kind of thing, but people may not realize that Chemstrand Road between 9 and 10 Mile is about to undergo some major renovations, right?
It sure is. Sure is. Sidewalks, some drainage improvements, curb and gutter. It's going to be a good project. It's going to last about 6 or 7 months, but it's going to totally revitalize the look and feel of that portion of roadway right there. Going to make it a lot safer for pedestrians and bicyclists as well.
Yeah, and that's a road segment where if you've ever been down it on a bike, God forbid, you know, and if you've ever driven it in a car when there was a pedestrian, God forbid, I mean, you know, and I've biked it, okay, so I know, but it's one of these terrifying roads, and we have a lot of terrifying roads in Escambia County from a pedestrian bike perspective. Another terrifying road that is much longer, much more significant is Jackson, and the city, the CRA, has already voted on this, but now the county is going to take up approval of what this is, a master plan for, I mean, massive renovations for Jackson. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It goes from Fairfield Drive to A Street. And we're going to be looking at everything from walkability, mobility, drainage, safety, a whole host. Of criteria that we're going to be looking at, and you know, we're going to go through the procurement process, hire a planner, and then you know, we'll take a look at all our conceptual plans and all of our options as we move along, and till we land on a good plan, and then we'll move forward with construction.
And
so we'll, you know, the plan will take us about a year, and then, you know, what phase of construction.
Okay, and I have a follow-up on that, because this is a really big project, and it's, you know, we're just in the very early phases of it this morning, but, you know, are looking at it today. So Jackson Street, we're looking at spending about $300,000 to do a master plan for, as you say, significant renovations to that street. But the actual project itself, I mean, this has got to be, what, millions if it's approved? Because you're talking about a two-lane road, most of it, that is, you know, there's no shoulder, there's, I mean, it's just nothing. It's a bare minimum road, even though it gets high use, right?
It is. It's kind of bare minimum. You know, we have some right-of-way challenges through some portions of it, and, of course, some trees. It's just a lot of challenges along some portions of that roadway. But this is going to be a good project. It's a much-needed project. The construction, if I had to guess at it this morning, I'd say probably close to $10 million, give or take, you know, depending on how construction costs go in the future. But it will be something that would need to be phased as we move forward.
And that's county road, right? So this is all going to be on us? There's not going to be – or would there be some kind of walkability matching funds available from, like, FDOT or the feds?
Yeah, it's possible we might could reel in some grant dollars, but I would imagine the bulk would be LOSD.
Okay. And this is – we're not four-laning or anything, right? This is just two-laning with bike lanes and stuff like that is kind of the idea right now?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Well, as I think through that road, and, you know, it's a lot. You know, it'd take a lot to make it better. It's needed. It's definitely needed. It's definitely a mess, but it's, you know, it's a lot too. Hey, one of the other things that's on there today, and I know for folks that have been following this issue, the beach access number 4, you've finished the removal, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, you've finished out on Perdido Key the removal of the old asphalt, and now it's ready to make the new parking lot and the walkover, and we need a little bit more money, about $90,000, to bring it up to what it's going to cost in the $300,000 vicinity. Is that right?
That is correct. About 91,000, or 90. We're right at 92.
And how long, once that gets approved, which I assume that it will get approved today, probably on a 4-1 vote, if I'm, you know, casting in advance. But if that gets approved, how long will it take before that's actually open to the public?
I would say probably 6 to 7 months from the time we start construction. So probably a lead time of 30 days to issue the contract, get a purchase order issued. And then from the notice to proceed, probably 6 to 7 months is what it would take.
Okay, so somewhere around the end of the year, beginning of next year, somewhere like that, that should finally be open. Okay, all right. Well, I know people who have been paying attention to that issue are very eager to see that come to fruition. Wes Moreno, he is our interim county administrator in Escambia County. It's a big job. Today is a big meeting with lots of stuff. We didn't even talk about the broadband that's on the agenda for today. But, Wes, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you do. We'll talk to you again soon, sir.
Thank you, Andrew.